Welcome to Libertarian Counterpoint. My name is James Just, and with me today is author John Cameron. John, we've talking, well, eco-extremism, we're going to call it tonight, is kind of the main topic of the conversation tonight. And we're going to start with electric 18-wheelers. This is a topic you sent me. 18-wheelers are even stupider than electric cars. And if you just have to go through the weight, right? It's, you don't even have to go past the weight of these things to understand how dumb they are.
I would, you know, weight you can deal with. But what about cost? I mean, you can buy a nice 18-wheeler for $165, I think. These electric 18-wheelers are $450,000. They're saying they're going to be. And that's with all of the skullduggery and the chicanery and the sleight of hand they do for all the price ports on them. But the thing about them is you cannot actually do interstate trucking with them. So basically, you can't do an overnight in them. You know, you talk about the weight. If the country switched to electric 18-wheelers, we would have to mine as much lithium as has been mined in the last 30 years, in the next few years. And that doesn't include all the copper and all the rest of that stuff. So and those are all going to be mined with diesel-powered things, and it's going to look like the strip mining that used to happen, you know, where they washed away mountains in California and Sacramento flooded. So it's just, it's crazy after crazy. The weight makes them super dangerous. Once they start having to get rid of the batteries, there's nowhere to put them and no way to recycle them. They're not going to be able to produce enough batteries. They're not going to be able to generate enough electricity. Basically, it's going to take 40% more electricity than we can generate now to charge batteries. Batteries will get at best maybe 3 hours. If they're crossing the Sierra in them, and the weather gets cold, we all know what happens to electric vehicles when the weather gets cold. Batteries actually are supposed to operate better at lower temperatures, but never mind. The science is kind of interesting. So, you know, and the fact that they're trying to mandate this, the world has not learned somehow that controlled command economy doesn't work. When you have government setting policy, it just throws a curveball into market forces and forces people to do something that's impossible. So I think there's going to be people are going to rise up over this. I mean, they're asking people to do something that's physically impossible, produce these things. There's no way to charge them, and they're going to be too expensive for people to operate. I mean, the days of the owner-operator will be out the window. I mean, it's hard enough getting a loan for a $165,000 truck in California, and now they want them to do this. I could go on and on and on, but I should let you say something. Yeah.
Well, I teed these up and let you go. Well, this is, it's got me is
bam!
Is that they don't understand that these long-term consequences of their short-term thought process, right? Because you're going to mandate electric trucks, electric cars, but okay, now you're going to have to increase the capacity of the grid. Mm-hmm. Because to have a normal fast charger is like you need its own substation. So you've got to put substations up all over the place. You've got to run extra transmission lines all over the place. And all this not just costs money, it takes time, and you got to get environmental approvals. And then are you going to bury them? Are you going to run them up? The complications of these things, right? It's just...
Well, you're not going to get... What's going to happen is we're going to be even more dependent upon foreign rare earths, which aren't rare. They're all over the place. There's a huge mountain in Nevada, I think, that's got some kind of buckwheat on it that they won't mine, which has got enough lithium to, you know, cover the planet. But we're going to have to buy stuff from China and... on and on and on. But just producing the electricity, even if everything else was in place, you know, as AI technology takes off, AI consumes a huge amount of electricity, more than mining for Bitcoin by far. and AI is going to be all over the place. It's electricity intensive. So you've got to increase capacity for that. It's not there. You know, the infrastructure isn't there. The power lines aren't there and all the rest of that. And then you're going to add just 40% increase in electricity. Let's say AI is 20%. And another 40%. So basically, you're going to have to increase electricity production in California by 60%. How are you going to do that? Well, there is a way. It's called nuclear power. But we can, you know, that's another subject. But it's just stupid. It's short-sighted. It's idiotic. And it's not clean at all. I mean, it is, when you look at what happens to the Earth when you mine all these things, the copper, you're going to have to go with aluminum body structures rather than steel. You're going to have these massively heavy things on the highway, which make a Tesla look light. So bridges are going to have to be reinforced. Highways are going to have to be reinforced. That's trillions and trillions of dollars. Guardrails.
Guardrails. Redesigned.
Yeah.
And that the consequences of these heavy cars, you know, the tire particulates. They're actually now saying that it's in L.A., electric cars actually create more particulate pollution than gas-powered cars, simply because the tires decompose.
Those
so
aren't
quickly.
Cheap.
No, they're not cheap. Yeah. Well, we're going to move on here a second, John, to another topic you sent me. The U.S. government and Stanford pioneered a censorship scheme that Europe is going to try to impose on the rest of us, right?
So in the EU, excuse me, audience, I think I have one of my invisible blonde hairs sticking in my eye. That's why I'm tugging at my eyes here. Basically, Stanford's research something, Rene D'Arresta, was head of a little secret operation. She used to work for the CIA, and they invented this little process of partnerships, government and nonprofit, in their words, fight disinformation and misinformation. And what that believes is, what that means, if you wipe out the cross-speak and the propaganda, is whatever the government doesn't want you to hear, they want to stop. So in the EU, since they don't have First Amendment, especially across the EU, all these individual countries, many of them do have something similar to a First Amendment. The EU wants to stop hate speech and disinformation and misinformation, and they want to make sure that there's no, especially in the area of health, no bad science being put out. Bad science meaning whatever disagrees with the government. So, and we should say, well, who cares what happens in Europe? Well, basically, either we're going to have to follow the European rules here, or else we're going to have two internets, one for Europe, one for the rest of the world. That's not going to happen. So what they're going to do is put the same rules on us, basically, that are illegal under our law in order to operate in the EU.
Yeah, well, we can't have two internets, you know,
interwebs.
Sure. They have one in China. China's got its own internet. I mean, if the EU wants to enforce its own internet, that's what they're going to end up with, their own internet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'll just use VPNs or whatnot to access the free internet what will end up happening. And then, of course, they'll make that illegal, and then you'll be a crime to go out and access information outside of approved government circles.
Yeah.
Which, for Europe, is actually not surprising for those of you who understand the history of Europe. Europe hasn't changed all that much in the last 70 years, sadly.
Well, it was trying. It was trying. I mean, there was, basically the when Germany was partitioned, Germany took off financially way before Britain. Why? Because Britain turned socialist and Germany turned capitalist, because the U.S. people that were trying to revitalize the German economy were not quite laissez-faire capitalists, but pretty close. And the people that were trying to guide the British economy were labor/socialists. And so I think in England, they were still on food rationing into the 60s. Where in Germany, whereas right after the war, the people were surviving on 800 calories a day, 600 to 800 calories a day. By mid-1950s, they weren't rationing. So it just lets you know that they're going back to stupid, you know, despite the fact that, you know, they've stupid has proved that it's stupid over and over again. Just substitute socialism whenever I use the word stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they don't understand these central planners. You know, they think they can control things that they don't even know about, right? It's the unknown unknowns that they think they can control, but you can't. You can't control.
They can't even control the known unknowns or the known knowns. How are they going to control the unknown unknowns?
Yeah, well, and they don't even try, to be honest. They don't think outside their little
ideology. It's all about power. It is always all about, with politicians, no matter what they say, it's all about maintaining the power they have, punishing their enemies, glad-handing their friends, and gaining additional power. And no matter what they say the program's going to achieve, as you look at the end results, that's what it achieves. And it achieves it in Europe better than it does here. Thank goodness for Argentina.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so we got going to move on here. Richard Fields, our roving reporter from the Fields, he's got an interesting conversation about the incoming environmental financial disasters, I guess is one way to put it. So let's see.
Even worse than the current one?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Even worse than the current
one. I'm eager to listen to Mr. Fields.
Let's see what Mr. Fields has to say.
For the 14th. Hi, this is Richard Fields with Report from the Fields. This week we go far afield to the halls of parliament in Ghana, where the power company shut down the power while parliamentarians were debating the president's recent State of the Nation speech. Turns out the country was $1.8 million behind on its light bill. The debate in parliament evidently continued in the dark, but the subject was changed to paying the electric bill. After the legislators promised to come up with half the arrears immediately and promised to pay the rest by the end of the week, the power company restored power, and members and aides who had been trapped in elevators were finally able to get out. A little background. Ghana generates a lot of green power from hydroelectric dams, solar, and wind. They also generate power by burning a limited amount of fossil fuels, but not enough power to power the growing industrial sector and burgeoning tourism, not to mention getting electricity to rural areas, which now generate 46% of their power by burning wood and other biomass. The solution is obvious and staring them in the face. Ghana has a resource of 1 billion with a B barrels of offshore oil. Now that the parliamentarians have had direct experience of having no power, will they remove any green-inspired roadblocks to use the fossil fuels they have in abundance? Time will tell. Here's a thought experiment. The United States has literally no money to pay the light bill. The daily deficit of the federal government runs between $4 and $5 billion a day. The only way the electric bill gets paid is by counterfeiting the money to pay it. Sorry, I mean borrowing newly created money from the Federal Reserve and using that to pay the electric bill. And that gambit is effectively reaching its natural limit, inflation of consumer prices, not just financial assets. Will it take cutting off the power to bring Congress to a place where it can make the acquaintance of reality? Time will tell. I'm Richard Fields, and that's this week's Report from the Fields.
You know, John,
maybe we
should just stop paying our taxes and then maybe they'll actually do something for us.
Well, no, they'll just print the money and throw us in jail. But I got a chuckle when he said their House of Parliament was operating, it had to operate in the dark. Ours has been operating in the dark for the last 20 years with the lights on. So I just thought that was kind of funny. I wish that something logical would cause people to, they talk about global warming being an existential threat. No serious climate scientists say that. They say things are going to get warmer and people can adapt and But nowhere is a few degrees going to end life as we know it. The existential threat is for our country is $34 billion and growing at...
Trillion there.
$34 trillion and growing to the tune of $5 billion a day. That's the existential threat. And they don't have the courage, the chutzpah, I was going to say something else, but I can't on air, the bravery to deal with it. And so we kick the can down the road, and eventually all fiat currencies collapse. And you don't know when that eventually is. I mean, it happened in Rome. When Richard and I share a libation together, we talk about it. That's the problem. It could, last for another 100 years before it collapses. I don't think it can, but you never know. But yeah. It's going
to
collapse.
It's hard to know.
Unless we do something about it.
Eventually, the bill's going to come due, and you're going to have to go off with the chainsaw like Malay did down in Argentina.
Yeah. Let's do that now. Yeah, now you do it with a paring knife. Congressman here, senator there. Oh, I'm not saying kill him. I'm just saying, get rid of the jobs, get rid of the departments, get rid of this massive overhead.
Cut half the departments. Just be gone. Department of Education.
Gone.
Gone. Yeah, you've got 50 in each state. Why do you need a national one?
No. Yeah. And you don't even need them in the state because you got them in the school is a local issue.
It's crazy. Yeah. We're going to move on. We're talking about dams, talking about clean energy and dams here and environmentalism here, John. The Klamath River Dam Removal Project, right, has ended up killing all kinds of fish, destroying all kinds of the environment, because one of the things they forgot is that, the dams, they do alter the environment. They do change it. Mm-hmm. But that new environment has just as much right to exist as the old one, especially after it's been there for 70 years, right? At some
70
point,
to 70 to 100 years.
Some point, those fish and their spawning grounds and all the wildlife that live in a lake that don't live in a river, these things change. The environment's changing isn't a destruction, but now they want to remove these things. And just the piles of dead fish it was what's kind of striking to most people. You just see piles and piles of dead fish on the shores of a river, and it's
well, they in their infinite wisdom, they didn't follow their own plan. Their plan was to slowly release water from these dams, but they released it all at once, and so all of the heavy metal sedimentation that it normally would wash out and be diluted is sitting on the bottom of these reservoirs. And when they opened the floodgates, it all went flushing down the river. And, some of these people are saying that nothing, that the rivers are dead for miles and miles and miles. No mollusks, no crustaceans, no fish, no insects, no amphibians, no anything can live in the rivers. And the whole idea, the sales pitch was that removing these dams was going to bring back the salmon population that these Indian tribes depended upon, and it was their right, their inherited right. So not only did that happen, but they made it worse. So government in action once again.
Yeah, now they've destroyed the spawning areas that they needed to.
They're covered in toxic sludge. Yeah.
And so rather than, let's change our culture to live on lake fish.
Well, at least now what they can do is that they can go to these reservoirs which are dry, and instead of having to dredge all this toxic stuff out that they were supposed to take out slowly but decided they didn't want to foot the bill, they can actually mine it, get rid of it that way. But, once again, government plan, Berkshire Hathaway, old Warren managed to take his toxic reservoirs and get the state of California to assume ownership of them. And then now it's our problem, because we're going to pay for it with tax dollars.
Yeah, I mean,
whereas if they would have kept the dams in place, then the private basically the private owners, Berkshire Hathaway being one of them, a major one, would have had to deal with heavy metals and all the rest of that in the reservoirs. And now you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are going to have to pay for that.
Yeah. Now, again, the taxpayers have to pay for something that they shouldn't have had to.
Yeah.
If they'd have just left things alone. But, dams get old. They need to be taken down, right? 100-year-old dams probably aren't real viable anymore. But you should actually have a better plan, or you should maybe follow your plan.
Damn
if
it.
If you had a plan. It's crazy. We're going to go on to some more useless California environmental regulations.
Oh, this is a fun one.
Yeah.
Did the I send you this, or you sent it?
What I did, I think I found this one.
This was a great one. Good the job,
Guard.
You.
The Coast Guard is refusing to enforce California's new environmental regulations to put a filter on the diesel engines of boats because these things fail and cause fires. Hmm. They're dangerous. But California decided in its infinite wisdom, we're going to mandate these things. Mm. And the Coast Guard said, we're not enforcing it because it's dangerous.
Well, it's illegal. It's because they're not approved from a safety perspective. They did the same kind of thing on trucks, put these super special filters on diesel trucks. And the trucks overheated and blew up, and some of them burned up. So they had to stop putting the filters on. And they thought, well, if it didn't work on trucks, certainly it's going to work on more expensive ships. It costs, I think, $5 million to set the average ship up to operate with these filters to reduce, I don't know, 0.01% of the pollution in offshore California and also in the bay and all the rest of that and the ports. And the Coast Guard's duties are first, I think, guarding the coast, and second, safe navigation waterways. And the filters, this complicated, very expensive filter system they want to put on, has not passed, nor will it pass, the safety standards for maritime safety. So the Coast Guard, bless you, Coast Guard, said, we're not enforcing that rule because you're basically want us to ignore the law, the safety laws, maritime safety laws that we have to follow to impose an environmental regulation.
Yeah, it's again, you make no sense.
California, woo-woo!
Well, they're virtue signaling, right? They're virtue signaling with your tax dollars, your time. Mm-hmm. You're the one paying these people to go up and pass these laws that are completely meaningless, and they get kicked out of the courts because, or in this case, the code by the Coast Guard says they're not enforceable. Mm. And you know, let's
there
bring up
hope.
The second point. How many fires would it actually cost to, you know, if it costs one fire, are you actually just going to, whatever good you were going to get out of it, have you destroyed that? Because one fire creates a lot of particulates and a lot of, yeah.
Kind of like our forest fires. They didn't want to permit controlled burning because it created air pollution. So they didn't do backfires. They didn't do forest thinning because you couldn't get it permitted. And the big fires we had a couple of years ago, they were the equivalent of putting an extra 3 million cars on the road for a year in California.
All right, John, we got like 5 minutes, so let's see if we can run through a couple of these. Small business reporting requirements found unconstitutional by an Alabama judge. So the Biden administration was trying to put in these oppressive reporting requirements, essentially requiring all small businesses to report not only who owns their business, but who might benefit from their business. Mm. And so if you're a mom-and-pop shop, now you've got to go and sit here and file paperwork with the government on who may or may not benefit from your business. Mm. It's like, where does the federal government have the right? And essentially, this judge says they don't. Mm. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says you have this right to do this. Mm. And so your whole scheme is unconstitutional. Oh. Which, okay, hey, doesn't win.
It's a win. It's a win for us. And the whole excuse for it was money laundering and drug running and all the rest of that. That's their excuse for everything.
Yeah,
know?
That's always their excuse. It's the drug cartels, or
it's the mob.
Fentanyl or whatever. Okay. Whatever cause celeb of the day, they're just going to put it in at the, that's the root
and
cause.
That's why we need to take all this power and make it impossible to run your small business.
The compliance costs are outrageous. Yeah. So here we go. We just had our elections a week or so ago. And so the California, there was a complaint by Katie Porter, I guess, that the election was rigged. Mm. But essentially, it's a lot of these...
What?
A Democrat complaining that the election was rigged. Imagine that. But she said that because people were spending money trying to promote Steve Garvey, Adam Schiff, was spending campaign money. Mm. One, he had so much more campaign money than everybody else. Tells you how much of a grifter he is. But that he was spending, him and these other PACs were spending money essentially trying to promote Steve Garvey over her. So
they promoted it in an interesting way. I saw those ads run, and basically I wondered why the Democrats were running an ad that would bring out the vote for all the Trumpistas or Trumpeters. They were talking about Mr. Garvey saying he's pro-Trump, Trump this, Trump that, Trump. So in essence, they were paying for him to campaign for the people that he didn't have the money to campaign to. Pretty sneaky, just like Hillary did in promoting Donald.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't beat any of the other candidates. She figured she could beat Donald Trump, but she was so bad and so hated that she actually lost to Donald Trump.
Yeah, and that's the question. If Schiff, why would he do it? I don't understand. He was going to beat Katie Porter or whoever else, or Jackson Lee, whoever else they threw up in there. What was the whole point? I don't understand.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Yeah, I think that Garvey's going to do way better than people think he is.
I would suspect so. I think there's a lot of, I mean, San Francisco, what was it? The San Francisco Times, no, what is it? Chronicle. San Francisco Chronicle declared that after yesterday's election, San Francisco is no longer a progressive city. Hmm. And we should all hope so. Look what being a progressive city did to it. Hmm. And so now
Oakland's next. Let's rescue Oakland.
Yeah. It's hopefully they're not no longer
one
a progressive
day Sacramento.
City. Yeah, so we've got a minute left, John. So we've got Dems had failed to take the House in New York, so they're trying to rewrite the rules, as always, to create their, to get their, I don't know, utopia involved, whatever you want to call it. It's, again, these people complain about election rigging while they turn around and rig the election legally.
Yeah.
They're legally rigging the elections.
Well, they're actually illegally rigging the elections. They had an independent commission to draw lines for districts. And because they didn't draw the lines in a way that would lead to a resounding Democratic victory, they rewrote the laws, and the judge then said, no, you can't do that because you've got this commission. So they finagled the law to get rid of the commission so they could rewrite it. And that's typical. I mean, I'm not a fan of the Republicans either, but the Dems are just, they're better at sleaze. You just got to give them hats off. They're better at stealing votes, man.
Yeah, it's if we're going to complain about rigging elections or complain about gerrymandering, well, you have to live that.
Mm.
If you complain about gerrymandering while engaging in it, no one's going to believe you. Thank you for joining us tonight, John. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for working very hard. Thank you for watching. Have a good night, and please remember to love everybody.